plastic bag. Drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin? Like a house of cards, one blow from caving in. Do you ever feel already buried deep? 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing. Do you know that there's still a chance for you? Cause there's a spark in you. You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just own the night like the 4th of July. Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you work. Make them go as you shoot across the sky.
My darlings, how are you? Welcome to the show. This is Sit a Spell. I'm your host, Lisa Lee, and I am so happy that you're joining me. I've got a super fun show planned for you. I've got two amazing guests for you. I've got the ever beautiful Ashley. She's going to do our news for us tonight. So how was your week? My week was absolutely fantastic. I moved into my new little cottage, and it was all in chaos and disarray. But now it's starting to look and feel like a home again. We've got cable, we have internet, we have wine, we have tea. Everything that makes a person happy, I feel like me again. It's awesome. So that is my new big thing. I'm in my new home again, and everything is absolutely wonderful. I've met my neighbors. Did I tell them my story about my spiders before? All right, I got a funny story for you. So before I moved into my little cottage here, I brought my youngest daughter, Heather, on a little tour, and because it is very small, it didn't take very long. And I asked her, I was like, Heather, do you want to see the basement? It's nothing fancy or spectacular. It's just a basement, washer, dryer, heater, all that stuff. So we're walking down the stairs, and we stop dead in our tracks. There is a spider with a body, had to have been at least 2 inches big, just the body, not including the legs. This sucker was huge. The biggest freaking thing I've seen since being in Texas, and it was black and hairy. Well, there is absolutely nothing in this house to get rid of that spider. There's not even like a newspaper, and we both had flip-flops on, and it was obviously we can't move in with this thing in here because, holy God, this thing is huge. So we're trying to figure out what to do, and neither one of us are brave. Usually Heather's the brave one when it comes to spiders and centipedes and snakes and mice. I mean, she's our brave one in the family, and she normally takes care of all of that. Even she was too frightened of this thing because it was enormous. So I was like, okay, well, let's go meet the neighbors. So she stays down in the basement just to kind of keep an eye on this thing because, like I said, the sucker is huge. We cannot move into this house knowing that this thing could be anywhere. It's awful. It's huge. So I go next door to my neighbors, and I'm introducing myself. I'm like, hello, I am your new neighbor. My name is Lisa. I've got 3 daughters. One daughter's going to live with me. The other one is just 2 houses down. I'm pointing. You can't see that, but I'm pointing. Because my oldest daughter, Ashley, lives 2 houses away from me, which I at first was like, Ash, are you sure you're going to want me to live here? You know, 2 houses away from you. But it's been absolutely a joy having her 2 houses down. It's absolutely been a joy. Stumbling distance. So anyway, so I'm talking with my neighbors for, I don't know, a good 15 minutes or so, and we're just chatting away, and at the end of the conversation, I'm like, well, you know, now that we're all best friends, I was wondering if you could do me a little favor. So I tell them about the spider, and they immediately all erupt into laughter. I'm like, can you please come and kill my spider, because it's really big. So my neighbor lady came over, and she killed our spider for us. No, I'm not an advocate for violence, but I'm sorry, that spider could not live in our house. And she said that it was a good thing that I had her come over, because that was one of those, like, wolf spider ones that attack you, and they jump, and they want to kill you. We can't have that in our house. We cannot. So Heather and I, we move in, and our first night here, we were on, like, spider duty and bug duty, because in the back of my yard, I've got this huge yard, but in the back of the yard, it's a forest. And so all of nature wants to come into the house. And so we were like freaking bug ninjas. We're throwing shoes at each other. Hey, throw me the shoe. I got one. Bam. You know, and it was awful. It was absolutely awful. And because I'm not a big fan of bugs at all. I don't do bugs. I can do snakes. I can do mice. I can do all the things that normal women are like freaked out about, but bugs, no. And spiders, abso-frickin-lutely not. I could not handle it. But now that we've been living here and we're all settled in, I have not seen a spider since we got all settled in. And my little cat, Princess Squeaky Bear, she is also a bug ninja. She's sitting here right here. She's sleeping. But she has been absolutely amazing at killing our spiders and going after everything. So that is where we're at in the spider world of my life. Right now, we are in a... What are we in right now? I think we're in a waxing crescent. It is Wednesday. A waxing crescent moon is really great for banishing things, getting rid of bad behaviors and negativity and all things that are just, you know, bad. So you're going to want to not do any spells right now, though. Let me tell you why. We are in a retrograde. Mercury is in retrograde right now, which just basically just brings across chaos, and it's ugly, and communications gets messed up. Things with your computers could fry out or get messed up. You're going to fight with people a lot more. There's going to be a lot of misunderstandings, miscommunications. One time I even had the computer in my car go out, and before I even realized that it was a retrograde, because for me, as a Gemini, I don't know, but I can always tell when we're in a retrograde, even though I haven't actually looked it up, because everything that could go wrong with as far as communications does. And I'm like, oh, shoot, are we in a retrograde? And lo and behold, I'll look it up and we are. So you can't do any magic right now. You just can't, because you're going to do a spell for blah, 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 fill in the blanks. And what's going to happen is the absolute opposite is going to happen. So just, this is a time, no magic. Don't do anything. It's just a really bad time. And I mean, unless you want your magic to go awry and you're cool with that, just don't. So we're going to start with Ashley now, my beautiful oldest daughter, Ashley, who you all know and love. She has some news stories for you. So Ashley, are you ready?
I am. The seven witch hunt movies that every Salem resident can get behind. If a good witch flicks were alcohol, these witch hunt movies would leave you drunk for days. Starting with Arthur Miller's Witch Hunt Domino Effect, these seven witch-related films define a message that every Salem resident can get behind. But they very well could be hiding from local ghost stories. The first one is The Salem Witch Trials, the 2003 remake of Arthur Miller's 1952 play. Noted as being comparable to the modern politics of witch hunt investigations, the two-part TV dramatization defines a staged witch hunt with a political twist. The second one is The Crucible. This is Arthur Miller's influenced his outstanding 1996 version. This time, one of Putnam's daughters is played by Winona Ryder, whose acting is convincing enough to pin the whole town against one Elizabeth Proctor. The third one is Salem Witch Hunt. Examine the Evidence, the 2011 documentary. The evidence stands at the Visitor Center in Salem, Massachusetts. Arthur Miller's play does get around thanks to the story of Salem Village. This documentary digs into facts rather than a script. 1692 was the year of a murder by manipulation, as more than 20 accused witches were put to death based on accusations of others. All without true evidence of witchcraft, every Salem resident can get behind facts before fiction. The next movie is The Craft. The Craft has a mixture of modern-day witchcraft and old-fashioned spellbinding. But that's not all. When the good witch battles off the bad witches, or bad seeds, most likely, Salem cheers. Unfortunately for Salem, the rumors of bad witches can get in the way of life. But with movies such as The Craft, at least it's a reminder that good witches exist as well, even in Salem. The next movie is The Blair Witch Project. The Blair Witch Project gave viewers something to fear, the unseen. The basis of this witch hunt flick is due to an old story of a witch and a couple of traveling men who disappeared. Some say the Blair Witch Project entered a witch hunt through real-time filming, as some viewers felt as though they were at the scene of the witch hunt crime. Ooh, yeah. Salem residents know how that feels in this day and age. The Covenant is the next movie. This movie has some great scenes in it.
I really like this movie.
Why?
Hot guys.
There you go. And in this picture, they are half naked in bathing suits.
Which was nice.
Yes, it was nice. Life is pretty tough when four guys mixed in one supernatural legacy faces forces of jealousy and suspicion threatening to place a wedge between them. Salem can relate to this beefy witch hunt flick. Beefy witch hunt flick. Oh. And then the next one is The Witches of Eastwick, which has been out for quite a while. This doesn't change the fact that it has all the special ingredients of Hollywood's affair with witchcraft. The good people of Salem have seen their share of extra drama plugged inside of a storyline just to give the plot a little twist. Are there any movies that you feel should be on here?
Wizard of Oz?
What's your favorite one?
Oh, Practical Magic!
Say that again.
Practical Magic should definitely be in this. That's my very favorite movie next to The Perfect Storm in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the best movies. I know it's completely fake and everything, but in some ways it does actually portray, other than like the supernatural weird bullshit that they have in there, that movie actually inspired me in so many ways. I love it. That should be on there.
I agree, actually. Usually all of her handles are like PrackMac for short, so that was an email, actually. The next delightful little story we have for you is called Witchcraft, Education Needed. South Africa not only needs new legislation to combat witchcraft-related crime, including multi-murders, but also serious education campaigns and initiatives, particularly in rural communities. Dr. Theo Petrus, a senior anthropology lecturer at the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University in Port Elizabeth, is one of a growing number of academics who have called for a radical new look at witchcraft-related crimes in South Africa. In 2009, his doctoral thesis on witchcraft-related crime in the Eastern Cape and its implications for law enforcement policy is the first of its kind in South Africa. But he says more research is needed, especially on how the justice system deals with such cases. Petraeus, who was approached by the Justice Department to become part of an advisory committee to assist in a review of present witchcraft suppression legislation, believes as many stakeholders as possible should be involved. He expressed concern that instead of curbing witchcraft-related crime, present legislation was actually contributing to an increase in violent witch hunts and related crimes. Such research could also shed light on the issue of the tension between state courts and traditional African courts, he said. His study concluded that witchcraft continued to play an integral part in the cultural interpretation of misfortune, illness, and untimely or mysterious deaths in many communities in South Africa, and particularly amongst Xhosa-speaking communities in the Eastern Cape. Oh, these words! Beliefs associated with witchcraft were still widespread and linked to high frequencies of witchcraft accusations and related violence. Police investigations were not always successful, and the high frequency of unreported cases suggested that the police, especially in the Eastern Cape, was struggling to deal with these cases, which also strained the relationship between communities, traditional leaders, and police. One of the problems highlighted in his study was that existing legislation was inadequate, where acts such as murder became linked to religious or supernatural belief, which in turn hampered the success of the police investigating such acts. It's quoted as saying, in the multicultural context of the post-apartheid state, respect for the religious beliefs and freedoms of various cultural groups is strongly encouraged and supported by the South African Constitution. The justice system itself needs to be sensitive to these beliefs. Consequently, acts of violence that can be categorized as witchcraft-related cannot be investigated or prosecuted necessarily with the same level of certainty as could be found with other conventional crimes.
I really think that it's sick and unfair. And have you noticed throughout the last few weeks that a lot of our negative ones are all about Africa? There's so much Africa where people are getting murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Over witchcraft. It's just really sad and frightening. I'm so glad to be an American.
I agree. Okay. We also, today, have a delightful little twist for you guys. We are doing a mini little book review, and today's book review is on witches, sequel casts a complex spell by Deborah Harkness. And it is called The Discovery of Witches, Shadow of the Night. The first book in the All Souls trilogy, A Discovery of Witches, was a tour de force, an artful and unusually skilled blending of hard science, history, and the supernatural. Deborah Harkness, a historian of science at the University of Southern California, was the perfect person to pull off a mix that some readers called Harry Potter for intellectuals. I thought that Harry Potter was intellectual. Thought that was kind of rude. If you haven't read it, here's a primer. A reluctant witch, Diana Bishop, the descendant of Salem witches, rejects her supernatural ancestry and becomes a historian. Holed up in the Bodleian Library at Oxford, Diana is suddenly hounded by witches, demons, and vampires after she asks to see an alchemical text. Ashmol 782 is what it is called. I was close. I'm sorry for you who know that word. Which turns out to be both long lost and strangely magical. Her life threatened, Diana teams up with Matthew Claremont, an Oxford geneticist, who also happens to be a 1,500-year-old vampire. This is the beginning of a sprawling adventure.
I wonder if he's cute like Edward.
I hope he sparkles. That combines the supernatural discussions of Darwin, genetics, fine wine. Ooh, that's our favorite! And much more. The first volume ends with a cliffhanger as the two, now a couple, flee into the past, into Elizabethan England. Delightful.
Delightful.
Loved it. And the last story, which is not really a story, but you need to know about it if you're ever traveling in Canada. It is called The Wonderful Witches of Oz. The Untold Story of the Witches of Oz. It is a performance in week 2 and 3, Tuesday through Friday at 8 p.m., Saturday at 2, and 8 p.m., Sunday at 1, and 7:30 p.m. If you didn't get that, feel free to re-listen to this broadcast. She's green, mean, and powerful, but Elphaba didn't just appear one day as the Wicked Witch of the West. That metamorphosis was nurtured. The musical prequel of The Wizard of Oz is making a return visit to Ottawa this week, and for the women who, along with Stephen Schwartz, put the novel Wicked on stage, the show still has the power to grab onto an audience. Winnie Holzman received a Tony nomination and a Drama Desk Award for her work on the book for Wicked the Musical. She was handpicked by Stephen Schwartz, on one of the dominant figures on Broadway these days, to do that job in 1999. She said in a telephone interview that Schwartz was determined to make the musical happen. He lobbied the executives at Universal Studio, which held the rights. Hard to not make a movie first, but to put the show on Broadway first. It was a good decision. We're still waiting for the movie. The musical has been seen around the world. According to producers, more than 30 million people from Tokyo to Berlin to Wichita, Kansas, fitting that, bah-ha-ha, have seen the show, and it has grossed in total about $2.5 billion. Wicked debuted on Broadway in 2003. A few staggering facts for ya. The three North American companies Wicked cumulatively gross more than $4.8 million a week. Next fact. Wicked has won 35 major awards, including the Grammy Award, the Olivier Award, 3 Tony Awards, and 6 Drama Desks Award. Oh, God, I just butchered that. Desk Award, including Best Musical. And the last fact. The Grammy-winning original cast recording has sold more than 2 million copies. Back to you, Mom.
I shouldn't probably tell you guys this in front of Ashley, but I find it really super fun. I'm sorry, baby. But I find it really super fun to find these news stories for with these, like, mouthful words that there's absolutely no way that she's going to be able to pronounce them. Only because I get a kick out of watching her be like, Mom! She gets so mad at me. It's really quite funny, and I enjoy it. So, sorry, baby, but you just make me smile.
I paid my dues time after time. I've done my sentence but committed no crime. And bad mistakes I've made a few. I've had my shell and kicked in my bed, but I come through.
And I need to go on. bows, my curtain calls. You brought me fame and fortune and everything that goes with it. I thank you all, but it's been no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise. I consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose.
You guys, I've got my first guest on tonight, and he is this amazing, amazing man. His name is Andy Gifford, and he has been such a blessing in my life. He has been just this most wonderful rock, and he's been inspiring to me, and he is the founder and creator of the Global Love Project. And he is, you know, as well as I do, that the whole reason we do this show is to change the world and to bring love and light into the world and, you know, change perceptions. And he is out there doing it. And I'm just so pleased to have him on the show. Andy, thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing well, Lisa, and thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor to be here.
No, I'm the one that's honored to have you on the show. Wow. I'm just so grateful and thankful that you agreed to be on the show. I mean, you're doing what we all talk about doing. You're actually out there doing it. Let's get a little background on who you are. Let's talk about you first before we start talking about your project. So tell me all about you.
Well, first of all, my name is Andy Gifford. I was born with spina bifida. I'm in a wheelchair. I live in Adrian, Michigan, and I've always had a great passion for people. So I started the project because I wanted to do something to give back to the world.
Which is absolutely amazing what you're doing. Okay, so you've got spinal bifida. So many other people would be like, oh, woe is me, poor me, you know. And you're not doing that. You're trying to change the world. I just find that so remarkable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've always had a very positive outlook on life. My whole life I've been very, very positive about it. And, you know, as far as my disability goes, there's no sense in looking down on myself because, well, I've never known any different. I've been in a wheelchair my whole life. So really, what is there to be, you know, really angry about? What is there to say, oh, woe is me, I can't do this, I can't do that? You know, I mean, it's pretty much pointless. It's pointless to think that way, because the more negativity you put in your brain, the more negative your life is going to become. And that's the whole point of the project. The project was created to basically put more positivity into people's minds and in people's lives. And we've been doing great things ever since 2010.
So tell me some of the things that you've done.
Well, I've started a few projects. Currently, I'm working on a flash mob.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and basically what we're going to do is we're going to organize people from all over the planet, and we are going to freeze time for an hour all over the world.
When is it going to be?
It's going to be on Peace Day of 2013.
I love it.
Which is September 21st.
September 21st of 2013. The day Absolutely. To change the world.
Absolutely. And the whole point of the whole freezing time scenario is so that the world can know what it's like to have peace for 1 hour.
I just love this. So what are people supposed to do?
Basically, the idea behind it is to, you don't necessarily have to travel for this event, because if we get enough people around the world to do this, then it'll be noticeable from everywhere. Everyone will know what we're doing. And the idea behind it is to basically give people a sense of peace where there's no chaos in the world, no movement, no sound, nothing, just blankness, just straight up peace for an hour.
So instead of, now I've never been a part of a flash mob before, however I would kill to be in one because I just think it's hysterical and awesome. So instead of everybody stops and they start like doing some sort of a dance, everybody's just going to freeze? Is that, am I understanding that right? They're just going to freeze in their spot.
Yes.
I think that's just so great. Now, how else are you getting this out there to the world so everybody knows?
Well, right now I'm doing everything on Facebook, but soon I will be doing what you're doing. I will have my own radio show.
Awesome.
I've been working on that for the past few months.
That's great.
So, yeah, I've been working on getting that sorted out. As of right now, I'm in negotiations with a few different radio stations, so hopefully it all pans out.
Wow. Okay, so 21st of September 2013, a flash mob of freezing. I love that. And do you have a lot of people that are already involved in you know, starting to spread the word as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, as of right now, we have almost 800 people involved in that.
Wow.
Yes, we have almost 800 people from all over the world. And we're shooting for a lot more, though.
We need millions. Millions, honey. Yeah. We need millions.
Absolutely. We need a ton of people. So if anybody sees this event on Facebook, please, please join us.
Well, we have a lot of listeners that I know would completely get behind this show. Just this whole flash mob thing is remarkable. So what else do you do for your cause, for the Global Love Project?
We've also worked with various, various charities around the world, one of them being the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
In fact, on my birthday in 2010, a friend of mine hooked it up to where for every happy birthday that I got on my birthday that year, a quarter would be donated to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, nice.
And we ended up actually raising $5,000 for that.
Wow, nicely done.
Yeah, so that was very cool. And I've also helped out, like, the American Heart Foundation, the American Cancer Society, just all kinds of different things.
So you are literally using your life to give back and to make a difference in the world.
Oh, absolutely. I am 100% dedicated to this. It all started back in July of 2010. And I was watching TV, and I was watching the news, and they were having all kinds of stories about the war in Iraq and people on the streets being hungry, people being shot and killed for no reason. And, you know, I was watching all that, and I said to myself, you know, something has to be done. Something just has to be done. So, you know, what better way to give back to the world and to make the world a better place than with love?
I couldn't agree more.
So that's what I'm doing. I am giving back to the world with love.
I know that you've inspired me. You've been really in my corner, and I feel like we've become friends via Facebook. I've made some really incredible, amazing friends via Facebook, but you have been so wonderful to me. I mean, when I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling low or I'm, you know, whatever, you email me and just make me smile. So, I mean, you've inspired me and you've changed my life, and I want to thank you for that. Truly, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for that. You've just been such a remarkable, wonderful person. But what you do for me, you're doing globally, and I just think that's absolutely the most beautiful thing that you could ever do. And I want to thank you for me, but actually on behalf of the rest of the world, I want to thank you for really caring and taking care of the world. You're doing such a wonderful thing, and thank you. You are inspiring and wonderful.
It's what I'm here for. You know, I mean, I strongly believe that each and every one of us has been put on this earth to help someone in some way. I just happen to be doing it for multiple people.
You're doing a wonderful job. And thank you so much for being on my show. And I'm going to get the word out to everybody that I know about the flash mob, because that's just a huge and amazing thing to do. So thank you so much, Andy. You are absolutely wonderful and amazing. And I thank you so much for everything that you do and that you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. You have a great night. And thank you so much, sweetie.
They're enchanting. Breathtaking. Bewitching sisters.
Magic isn't just spells and potions.
Now it will take all their power to make love come alive. Sandra Bullock. Nicole Kidman.
Do you ever put your arms out and spin and spin and spin? Oh, that's what love is like.
Practical magic.
My next guest is one of my very dearest friends. Her name is Teresa Savina, and she is one of the most powerful and amazing people that I know. And not only is she powerful and amazing, she is also my voice of reason and my rock. So, Teresa, welcome to the show. Again, you've been on my show before.
Yes, I have.
You were on the
it's
show for...
Great to be here with you, dear.
I love having you on my show because you always make me laugh.
Of course.
So,
if you can't see me naked, it's going to be even fun.
Are you naked right now, honey? What are you wearing?
No, I'll never tell.
Yes, you will. You take pictures.
Okay, I've done that before for you, and it was kind of shocking, but, you know.
I dared her to do that one time, and she freaking did it. One of the reasons I love Teresa. You can never do a dare. For Teresa, because she'll do it no matter how outrageous.
I'm sorry, but there are some things I just won't do. But running outside in the naked in snow, taking a picture is not one of them. I will do that.
Well, clearly. Yeah. Anyway, Teresa has been my rock. She has been my voice of reason. She has been my dear friend for I don't even know how many years. How long have we known each other? It was like 200 or 300 years now, right?
Probably 10.
Yeah, it's been a very long time, 10 years. And And she's also my partner in crime. She makes me laugh. She makes me cry, but the only reason she makes me cry is because she's like, Lisa, come on, you know better than this. You need to, like, get away. You need to do, yep, exactly. So she's been by far one of the most empowering people in my life. And I love you so much. And Teresa just got not married because she was always married to Vinny, but they just did a vow renewal that Ashley and I, we went to her vow renewal. Beautiful. It was absolutely the most, I cried, and I don't cry at weddings. Oh, Ashley cried too. I don't cry at weddings.
You know, after 25 years, that's a big milestone. You've got to do something special.
It's a huge milestone. But Ashley just finished telling me that she cried too, because you can't hear her, and Ashley can't hear you, but she cried too. But you were the most beautiful bride, and your ceremony was absolutely beautiful. It was out in this wooded area, which, by the way, Ashley and I have decided, just so you know, T, that when you and Vinny do your 50th wedding renewal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've already decided a few things that is going to take place. For one, it's going to be at a place that Ashley and I can actually find. Did you know that we had between
yeah,
Tom,
but you can't find most places. So
well, I know, fine, fair enough, blah, blah, blah. But, okay, we had the TomTom. We had, what was that thing called? OnStar. We had OnStar. We had MapQuest. And we
yeah,
asked
but it
the person.
It doesn't have a... The place they're at does not have an actual address, so you could
no
never
shit.
Reach that.
Really? So
yeah.
Ashley and I actually, we left 2 hours before we were supposed to get to your wedding, because we're like, oh, we'll just hang out, it'll be fine. No, that whole 2 hours, we were lost in La La Land trying to find our way. I talked to you, like, what, 3 times? And I talked to 2 other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But your wedding in the end, we were so grateful and thankful to find it. We were thinking that we were probably going to have to live there because we were never going to find our way back home. But
your
wedding,
your way home.
We did. But you know what? 94 was closed. So we actually took side roads all the way from wherever the hell in Minnesota we were back to Ashley's place. But it was so completely worth it, because watching you and Vinny renew your vows, it was absolutely breathtaking and beautiful. And I was just, no, you were so beautiful, honey. You were in your dress. And I got to meet all those wonderful people that you're friends with that I had only met, like, online. But it was, both Ash and I were just completely honored. That you
well,
let
I
us...
was, you were honored that you showed and found your way.
and then you made Ashley a video, because Ashley asked you for advice.
Yeah.
On how to make a marriage work and what to look for and you did what you do best. I mean, your video was absolutely phenomenal. I watched it and I'm like, first of all, it was funny. Second, it was a little awkward when you talked about monkey sex, because we are talking about my daughter, who should be a virgin, but...
Come on, Mom. Come
I
on,
know.
Mom. It's
I
the
know.
2000,
I know.
You know.
I know, but still, in my eyes, she's still just this little cute little baby, and instead of getting it on with her fiancé, ew.
Open conversation.
Well, I'm sure she feels the same way about you and your partners, too.
What partner? I ain't getting any.
Well, you know, when you get another one. All right. Nobody wants to think of their parents getting it on. No.
Oh, ew. Parents having sex is disgusting. Ew. No, no. But so are daughters having sex. We don't. Mm-mm. But anyway, you made that amazing video for her. So not only have you empowered me and changed my life, I mean, for the better, but you've also touched my girls' lives. I mean, my girls all just love you so much, and they think of you as family. So
yeah.
I just want to... No, they do. I mean, it's just a known thing. It's tea. you know. And you've just been this force of reckoning and voice of reason. And how do you do it? How do you maintain being who you are? Because you've never waffled. I can always count on Teresa to be the voice of reason and make me laugh and be my rock. How do you do that? I mean, you've got so many people that do that or that expect that of you. What is your secret? How do you maintain being such the wonderful person that you are?
First off, I was never like this for a long time. It takes a lot of work. First thing you've got to do in life is you have to pay attention to the things that are repeating in your life that are negative, and they bring you down, and they make you feel crappy about yourself, and blah, blah, blah. And then you have to go back in your life, as painful as it is, and you have to go back and figure out where that started. What has started that? Because chances are it was something in childhood that started it. At least it was for me. And you really have to look at those things, because if you don't, you keep repeating them throughout your life. Whether consciously or unconsciously, you're repeating that pattern. And until you figure out why, you're never going to change that. So it's a matter of switching your head. You know, it's painful, but anything that you do that's worth a lick of salt, it's going to hurt to get there. That's where you're going to learn your greatest lesson, is through the pain of your life. So I don't know. I really don't do anything super special, because a lot of times, you know, I can't tell anybody what to do until they're ready to hear.
I was going to say, you've never told me what to do, but you've always known the right thing to say at the right time, where I'm going to actually listen to you rather than just be like, blah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. You have to be at the right spot in your life to be open to certain statements or whatever that somebody would say to you. And I think a lot of that is because I use my intuitiveness, and I'm an empath, so I can't explain how it happened. But whether it's God channeling through me or whatever, the right thing to say pops out of my mouth.
You always have the perfect thing to say, always.
But, you know, and the thing is that I could sit there and say that, anything, but unless you're ready to hear it, really hear it, you're not going to do anything about it. So it was the right time to say something. You took it in. You were at a point in your life where, you know, you knew something wasn't right. You just felt as crappy as possible, and it clicked. I don't do anything more but point or direct the energy towards you. You know, like when I'm doing Reiki, you know, putting that energy for self-love into your heart, because you need that boost of energy when you are so down and you're lost on your path and you just, everything looks like a wall. You need that boost of energy into your heart, because that is what's going to give you the strength to do the work to get yourself out of it. Nobody can get you out of anything. The work is you. You're doing it. And a lot of people forget that. You know, oh, you did all this. No, you did it. You did it. I was just, vehicle to, you know, the mirror you were looking into or whatever that clicked.
Well, I know that you've. I know that you've helped me change my life in a positive way.
Well, I'm glad, cause, you know, the benefits are great for me too, because I get a boost out of it. And you know, trust me, my life isn't perfect either.
Well, nobody's perfect.
No, I mean, yeah, I still struggle with stuff. People don't really see it, because I'm so good at hiding it. But, you know, I even have to still, to this day, I have to look in a mirror and go, what the hell are you doing?
No, you've touched so many lives, Teresa. You're one of the most amazing people that I know. And I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. I honestly, in my true soul, I mean that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We're growing up, we're so programmed, you know, either by the television or a magazine or this, that, the other thing, and what other people think. And, you know, we're programmed to think we're not good enough. You know, you're not skinny enough. You're not smart enough. You're not this, you're not that. And it's all because of this crap with TVs and ads and, you know, everything that they bombard you with from television and magazines.
Right.
You have to stop looking at that.
Totally agree. Yep.
Seriously, because you just get trapped in it and you're not going to move.
I couldn't agree with you more. Teresa, I want to thank you so much for all that you've done for me. And I want to thank you for all that you've done for my girls. And obviously, thank you for being on my show. But if people want to find you, because you do so many things, Reiki and healings, and just how do people find you?
Well, I work out of the Mary Holistic Center in Long Lake, Minnesota. We have a website called bemary.org, O-R-G. You can contact me through the site.
I mean, I'm here to tell you right now that Teresa does some phenomenal Reiki. I mean, she's worked on me, and I came out so much healthier after her.
A little stunned, but
a little stunned, but totally healthy. So much better. But okay.
You
so
can
they
also
can
find me on Facebook.
And yep, is it Teresa Savina? Like
yep.
Facebook.com/Teresa Savina. Okay, and then bemary.org. And then my website right now is under construction because my people are in the middle of rebranding and redoing the whole thing. But as soon as my site is back up, I will make sure to have Teresa's links on there as well. Teresa, thank you so much for being on my show. Thank you so much for being my friend. And I love you so much, and thank you for everything. You're one of my most treasured people that I have in my life.
Thank
and I truly
you,
mean
darling.
That. Oh, no. Thank you, darling.
I love all you guys, too.
Of course you do. Because you love the world.
I know.
All right. Thank you so much, Teresa.
All righty.
All right. Talk to you later, honey.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to thank my guests, Andy Gifford and Teresa Savino. You were both amazing people to have on the show. I just adore both of you. Thank you so much. I want to thank Ashley for doing the news, even though I purposely put her in harm's way with big words just because it makes me laugh. Sorry, honey. I want you all to have an absolutely wonderful, amazing week. Join me next Wednesday when I'm going to have a whole new lineup, and it's going to be absolutely fabulous. And in the meantime, my darlings, don't forget to take back your light.